Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the NCWCC Blog Talk Radio Show, hosted by your Director of Economic and Development, Karima Ali. We are hosting live from out of Atlanta, Georgia, instead of Stone Mountain, and it's going to be a different type of show for today. And basically what we're going to be talking about, interestingly enough, is a lot of news that needs to be allowed out to our listeners. And a couple of things that we want to share is that we are at the corporate offices of C.J. Hearn Construction, our southeastern chair. And as always, today being the 15th of the month, in terms of the IRS, we have a lot of a strong issue as business owners and trying to meet deadlines regarding the taxes. So one of the things that's interesting to us is that Ms. Farmers has brought to our attention some real, real strong news regarding MARTA here in Atlanta, Georgia. And this is just as current as March 30th, 2009. The DBE requirements applicable to contracts by generating by the generated economic stimulus funding. It says, dear disadvantaged business enterprises, in preparation of receipt of economic stimulus funds emanating from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, the Metro Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority, MARTA, has been participating in applicable training classes and webinars. This has been the case because there are special requirements that apply to the grants and contracts that are generated by economic stimulus funding. This is important to disadvantaged business enterprises in serving as prime contractors, subcontractors, lower-tier contractors, and suppliers. The first requirement, which we have been actually talking and giving as much information as possible about the economic stimulus packet and in terms of the American Recovery Act, and we've been blessed to be a part of the team that allowed the coalition to bring in particular language regarding the aspect of the hiring, the requirements itself, and how to position yourselves for the requirements. So we're no longer looking at certifications, we're looking at qualified individuals. And so to go back to what these points are, there are three of them. One of them says contractors and suppliers that wish to participate on contracts that are in directive of economic stimulus grant must be registered with Dun and Bradstreet and have a Dun's number. This is an absolute necessity because it is a prerequisite for the next requirement that follows. There is no cost associating with registering with Dun and Bradstreet on the DNB Business Solutions site. You can facilitate your registration by going to www.dnb.com or calling DNB Customer Resource Centers at 800-333-0505. The second is any and all contractors and suppliers, regardless of tier, must register on the Central Contractors Registration System, CCR. Okay, you must have a DUNS number in order to register on the CCR. So you must have a DUNS number first. In order to register with CCR, registrants are required to submit detailed information on their company in various categories. You can register with CCR by going to www.ccr.gov. The CCR User's Guidelines defines detailed specific information requirements. Now, for those of you who do not understand the government and feel that this is something that is going to go away, it's not. Let me just explain to you what we just said. First of all, in this day and age, to receive a Dun & Bradstreet, yes, you can go in and get a DNB number. However, Dun & Bradstreet's recourse is to try to get you to buy a credit file with them so that your company could build a credit reference system in place. That costs anywhere between $800 to $5,000. So once you navigate through that cluster of information, then the next thing is to register with CCR. And then there's a trick to CCR registration. CCR registration has had its birth and its death in that meaning there's a large amount of information that you must provide online, and you have a limited amount of time when registered online with CCR. It will kick you out of the system. So we encourage you to get information by calling the coalition's 800 number to identify how to best maneuver yourselves through this. This information is free. We try to provide services of this nature because this is going to become a cluster of red tape and more red tape. So, again, and MARTA has always received federal funds, and that's why they've always used DBEs, but this time all the states and all the different systems are becoming naked because federal funds have been disseminated, recirculated through state entities, government entities, and local government entities for years. And we as people of color that's in contracting are ignorant to the fact that there are so many opportunities that they tell you that you're not qualified for, and the dissemination between that information and what you understand is so overwhelming, you all decide not to go after the work. However, with this situation being what it may, and Ms. Fern's been able to provide us with this very, very important information, the last thing I want to discuss with you, it says, certified disadvantaged business enterprises will be required to meet both of the above noted requirements. This is an integral step in meeting President Obama's commitment to complete transparency. And before I read that, I didn't even see that, but transparency has not been a tale of both stories when it comes to the state of Georgia and all its local government entities, because federal funds have been pouring into the state of Georgia and the city of Atlanta for years, and we have not taken advantage of the fact that opportunities that presented themselves have been smothered with guidelines that are all pretty much illegal in every aspect. And now with the stimulus package actually hitting, people think that's just going to get a little bit easier, but it's not. Actually, it's going to get more complicated if you don't have a new business model. Okay, and it says, given the above, we are encouraging all DBEs to complete these tasks immediately. It will be to your advantage to do so because requirements, as noted, will apply regardless of the agency from whom you pursue and acquire contracts that are generated by economic stimulus funding. And it says, should you have any questions in regard to this information, contact Antoine Smith, Manager Economic Opportunity, or Reginald K. Diamond, Executive Director of Office of Diversity and Equal Opportunity. Now, how many times have you guys actually put your hands on anybody at MARTA directly to get any information? Yeah, they're there. They're all these different galus, but they always tell you to come in, we'll sit down, have a one-on-one, and that's it. So there's always been the same amount of people, same amount of players that are going to be always in position for this contract, and nobody questions the facts of how they always getting contracts and you're not. And what has happened now is instead of now just having the one layer of just being a DBE, which is, to me, a barrier, because what they do now is the primes are not DBEs. The primes are prime contractors. They're not DBEs when they get awarded the project. They're just prime contractors. And those prime contractors have had a functioning way of doing business for years now. They have their own system in place. But the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is that when you do get on a MARTA job, please be very be clear about what I'm about to say to you all. We have no problems with this particular organization. So I personally would just want to say that most of the contractors that are part of the MARTA situation that I know of try to do the best they can. But in all fairness, it is the owner's responsibility, which is MARTA, to clearly define the fact that the goals that they have been set are in place, and is their policing that I blame when it comes to disparities and barriers that completely impede growth on MARTA projects. One of the things that I have noticed that the general contractors standardly use an AGC subcontractors. Building construction contract. And when you get a building construction contract from the AGC documents, that subcontractor agreement is very lengthy, and a lot of times they do not put in the complete agreement. It becomes a part of guesswork. If you're not receiving Articles 1 through 16 and all its subdivisions regarding that, then you're still held responsible for every item that's not in the actual overall subcontract. And I'll just give you a perfect example. In Article 5, there's 5.1 through 5.1.1, 5.1.2, 5.1.3,
5.1.4, and so on. Then it skips to 5.2, 5.21, 5.22, 5.23, 5.24, skips to 5.4, and it goes concurrently. And then all of a sudden, you may see a Article 6 that's not a part of your contract. And when that Article 6 is not a part of it, just the 6.1 and 6.7, then you have areas of your contract that is missing. And a lot of times we don't question that because we're so excited about receiving a contract that a lot of the language in there is implied. Implied language in contract with AGC is not mitigating circumstances to put you in a level of negligence in terms of I didn't know, because a lot of times you're looking at people just not wanting to put in every item in the contract for whatever purpose. And a lot of people don't understand is that we have to become more knowledgeable. I've been sent a lot of emails from a lot of organizations stating how do you use your certification to get work. That's time out for that. Certified firms are going to be a day of a past type of firms that are out there. The qualified firms, if you read what we just, if you look at what we just spoke about, is that you have to be able to meet qualification sustainability on projects. And I have been hearing lengthy conversations with key minority subcontractors throughout the state that they're in programs that they're not learning anything and they're not getting any work because it's just a way of keeping people busy doing nothing while the other people get the work. Now, the National Coalition is strategically positioned itself with IATSE and the Brotherhood of Carpenters on a national level. We had a very good, interesting forum that was on March 26th of the month of March was one of our key times because it was Women's Month, and we were part of a strategic plan of women throughout the country to have some form of mixer, networking, symposium forum for the month of March, and we were very successful in doing so. And we have a DVD that's out that is being produced by our co-executive director, Mario Coleman. He has been working diligently in the multimedia to continue to help brand and bring 21st century sustainability and marketing and visibility and branding to the coalition. So I always want to thank him for his input and his possibilities when he opens up his mind and his heart to the coalition and the women that are a part of that. We also want to thank Ms. C.J. Hearns and our Southeastern chair for allowing us to air out of her corporate office here in Atlanta. And we also want to thank our national chair, Maggie Bowens Freeman, as well as Jim Bowens. And we also want to send our condolences to our health and wellness director, Dr. Albany Hornbuckle, in the transition of her uncle on last Thursday. So we send our prayers to her and her family and to remain in strength with God and understanding that this is just a transitional stage when we're here on earth. So we want to throw that information to our listeners and our members who go back in and take a look at the archives. The other part is that we have a wonderful situation that's going on with the information regarding the President Obama announces plans to unlock the credit for small businesses. This is a new immediate release dated March 26th, the White House Office of Press. Again, this is information that's been passed on to my Southeastern chair, C.J. Hearn. Ms. Hearns is diligent and giving us processed information, current information, to be able to bring toward our members and our listeners some of the things that a lot of people mainstream do not advertise. So And with this being said, it talks about emphasizes recovery efforts already taken by SBA to expand access to capital for small businesses. It states that as of March 16th, the Treasury Secretary Gaffner first outlined the introducing Financial Stability Plan, FSP, in February. And President Obama and the Secretary will announce plans to take immediate actions to help ensure that credit gets flowing against entrepreneurs and business owners. And as a part of the Consumer and Business Lending Initiative, by the end of the month, the Treasury Department will begin making direct purchases of securities back to SBA loans to get the credit market moving again. So we got to the end of the month of March, and I think some of the credit offer information has been moving. It says that the SBA loans will get credit moving, markets moving again, and through community banks, credit unions, and extend loans to local businesses. And these purchases, combined with higher loan guarantees and reduced fees, will help the help provide lenders with confidence that they need to extend their credit. Well, the backstop against their risk and source of liquidity. These measures will have other steps in administration to help with the small business recovery and growing through several tax cuts under the Recovery Act, which is the Financial Stability Plan as well as the Recovery Act. President Obama's administration believes that this particular economic recovery will be driven in large part by American small businesses, of course, which generate, of course, 70% of net new jobs annually over the past decades. But as the flow of credit has dried up during the recession, small business owners have been non-respondent and prudent and have been and a setback based on the behavior of the financial system, as everybody knows. But the businesses with strong credit histories have seen loan applications denied due to conditions that have nothing to do with their own actions and are struggling to expand their business to make their payments and even keep workers on their payroll. So the U.S. Small Business Administration typically generates about $20 billion in loans annually. New lending in this trending below is below $10 billion this year. So the administration has taken positive steps that small businesses have access to credit. And the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act that was signed by the president, which we've been talking about in regards to a lot of other different things, of course, they have some guidelines dealing with their initiative and how they're going to approve. And they say they're going to jumpstart by purchasing up about $15 billion in securities. By doing so, this will provide banks to do new capital to make additional loans. And SBA historically has used the 7(a) lending program that has been frozen up. But as both lenders and community banks and credit unions assemble a pool, this is going to help them synchronize loans that have left the government of SBA loans on a downside. And so what this does is, as always, businesses are coming together, and I think this is a great strategy when community banks, credit unions, and other pool assemblies come together to make up a guarantee in securing a situation in terms of financing. But the other side to this is if women of color could come together in that same capacity and utilize their information without fear and without bias, without threat, without overcoming the, what I would say, why should I help her? Because I've been struggling. I often get back toward the Center for Business Research and regarding the study about hidden barriers, hidden bases regarding the study that was done for 3 years by the Center for Women Business Research and Babson College in conjunction with the sponsors of like Verizon Wireless, Walmart, most of the larger firms, Fortune companies, gave a $5 million grant to do the research regarding, and those barriers have been always a part of my existence and understanding that, you know, one of the things that this study says, this is not what Karima says, but what the study says is that when information flows faster, possibilities open up for everyone. So we look at this as an opportunity for this radio show to air each Wednesday at 5:30, no matter where it's at. I feel that we can work together with each other and not have any problems. We will be able to expand our resource bases more so than ever. And the other side to this is that collectively, as women of color, I always have a joke. One woman of color can file a lawsuit. Two to three or more can file a class action. And then 10 can change the world and change policy, because that becomes a virtual voice for people who are being led down the wrong path. And it's not. This is not a time to point fingers. This is a time to reflect on some of the things that is happening in SBA in terms of the way that this thing is being packaged. It's going to take more than one company to go in and get a 7A loan package that will come together, you know, that will make securities work in terms of the Treasury. They're looking for small businesses to group together and bring validity, financial stability to the loan itself as small businesses, because individually we cannot. Fortune 500 companies are coming together to rally themselves, no matter who their competition is, and I think women of color can do the same thing. I think there's no opportunity that we can that could pass us. One of the last things I want to talk about in this first last 2 minutes of our segment is to finish out to about the Treasury Department. They said today the Treasury Department announces that in order to get credit moving immediately to small businesses, it will stand ready to purchase securities backed by 7A loans packaged since last July. Treasuries has hired an investment manager who will be authorized to purchase starting this month securities backed by guaranteed portions of 7A loans packaged on or after July 1st, 2008. This will help clear the backlog of securities that has been built up since the beginning of credit crisis last year, providing a pool of assemblers and banks with the source of liquidity so that the new lending can occur, so that new lending will occur. Then they also state that immediately the Treasury Department will stand ready to purchase new 7A securities package between now and the end of the year, between now and the expiration of the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act, which is ESA authority on December 31st, 2009. Treasury stands ready to purchase new securities backed by guaranteed portions of 7A loans. By making this pledge, Treasury provides assurances to the community banks and other lenders that they can sell the new 7A loans that they make, providing them with cash so they can extend even more credit. So I don't know if anybody understands this, but 7A loans have been loans that businesses have been utilizing through SBA for some time now. However, they also have a 504 community development loan programs, and those 504 community loan programs and projects are not SBA guaranteed, and were often traded in the past on an active secondary market that was frozen in last year. But to get the 504 lending market moving again, the Treasury Department said that they will now start to purchase securities packaged from 504 first lien mortgages. Treasurers will stand ready to buy first lien mortgage securities connected to SBA 504. No later than May, Treasuries will begin purchasing securities packaged on or after July 1st to meet eligibility criteria. So in the past, the 504 loans have been something that has been pretty hard to get. And first, we're going to close this segment out by listening to our chair for our Build a Youth Foundation program, Destiny Muhammad. Please hold on, callers.
And the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders and the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. My faith, I'm all you will ever need. All you'll ever
All right, welcome back, callers. And again, you are listening to Kareem Ali of the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction. And this segment is particularly kind of closed for news purposes because what is happening is that information, as I've been doing, has not been getting out in terms of the things that's going to help our businesses move forward. And I want to thank Ms. Hearns again and giving us the information regarding unlocking the small business credit. And that's very crucial. I want folks to understand it may sound like it's a boring scenario, but if you are a business owner and you are trying to leverage ways to get your credit back moving and better fund your projects, then this is the segment that definitely needed to take place. And I just wanted to point out that this is a release that anybody can go online and get themselves. It is the White House Office of Press Secretary for immediate release on March 16, 2009. President Obama and Secretary Gaffner announced this to unlock credit for small businesses, emphasizing recovery affects efforts already taken by SBA to expand access to capital for small businesses. And we left off talking about the making direct purchases to unlock credit markets for SBA 504 Community Development Loan programs. Okay, so I want to make sure that it's very crucial that this show remains an information base for its listeners and its members and its member partners. We're proud of always to state that we, the coalition, has been a part of the fabric of the industry for over 20 plus years, and we are signatory to the Brotherhood of Carpenters and the IOTC, which is the movie industry now. And that is taking some precedence over some of the things that we've had to experience in the past, and it's going to allow our members a way to divert a lot of their models, their business models, to adjusting to the new 21st century markets. And I'm not saying that for any other reason other than how this segment of information regarding SBA 504 and 780 loans and a series of other things. So what I'm going to continue to go back pass through a how the government is going to unlock some of the, is going to unlock the loans with mortgage loans from private lenders to provide long-term financing up to $10 million that directly supports economic development from the community. First lien mortgage loans made by private sector lenders, which account for 50% of the financing for 504 projects, have typically not been supported by SBA guarantee, were often traded in the past on active secondary markets that was frozen in the last year, leaving billions of unsold assets on the books of banks. And that's how we got into this. We got into this crunch because what I just mentioned, that these unsold assets from the so-called private lenders have set on the books. Now, in order to get the 504 lending market moving again, the Treasury Department said they will stand ready to purchase securities packaged from 504 first lien mortgages. Treasuries will stand ready to buy first lien mortgage securities connected to SBA 504 programs no later than May. The Treasury began purchasing securities packaged on or after July 1st, 2008 to meet the eligibility requirements designed to protect taxpayers. Now they're ready to protect us. Prepare to buy, the Treasury Department are prepared to buy first lien mortgage securities that they receive through new SBA guarantees as part of the Recovery Act. SBA says they're going to be developing a secondary market guaranteeing programs for securities insured that are issued from pools of 504 first mortgage loans. Once this program is fully implemented by SBA, the Treasury said they'll be ready to stand to purchase these government guaranteed securities. Now, what that has meant to us in terms of folks that are in the residential market, it's going to allow builders to go back and building some capacity and some leveraging of their some of their real estate that's been sitting. Now, the other thing I want to discuss is while keeping the secondary market in place, the direct purchases of 7A and 504 securities will provide liquidity to lenders, including community banks and credit unions. And what this is going to do is restart the process of recycling capital and extending loans, real short. And so at the same time, this TALF component of the Consumer Business Lending Initiative will provide investors with an attractive source of finance and allow them to continue to participate in the market. This method is intended to keep existing secondary markets in place so that the private investors can replace the government as purchasers of these securities when market conditions return to normal. So basically, this is just a temporary fix to raise guarantees up to 90% of the SBA 7A loan. The purpose of the 7A is to provide a government guarantee to reduce the risk of lenders faced. So pretty much the government is going to take the hit on any of these unsecured type of loans. Now, I want to share something with you. Everybody is taking this American Recovery Act money, and what they have to, every one of us that's listening to this show, keep in mind what I'm reading to you is that these are business opportunities. So the banks who have been traditionally not lending to women of color, and that's been their model, and their model has been not lending or offering the type of support that they do to our male counterparts, and that's been in the past. We now have a way of stating that it's easy to find out if these banks have gotten the money. All banks have taken money. That's what banks do. They see money and they take it. So dynamically, what I've said to you based on the first two discussions of the 7A loans and the market recovery and the loans regarding lenders and private investors, you're looking at none of these jobs are going to be privately funded any longer, not at least for the next two years. This is going to be a combination. So I continue to say if one federal dollar is taken by a lender at any entity, then those guidelines for the Title VI that we're talking about of the Civil Rights Act already automatically implements in process. Just as we were talking about MARTYR at the first segment of the show, this next segment is the same requirements. They're not asking for CCR right now, but the requirements are going to be the same. They're going to make anybody register their business with the federal government. That means tax-paying, which I love, individuals who are paying their taxes will now be able to monitor their money a little bit better. And what that means is we have a lot of people come over here from different parts of the world. Like I found out by a great resource that works with the IRS that you see a lot of Orientals buying a lot of properties. And the reason why they have so much free money is that they don't pay taxes. They do not pay the taxes in America. We pay them. They put the crutch on people who have real Social Security numbers that can be found by a phone number. And I have nothing against the melting pot of America, but I think if you come here and you feel like you want to be a part of the American pie, then it costs money to eat. And what has been happening, and I'm hoping that this comes into play when it comes down to contracting and every opportunity when it comes to the freeing of the money, is that those people that are taking this money fall under the same guidelines as everybody else does, and that they pay into the taxes, because right now just a small amount of people are carrying the country. Business owners and the rich. Business owners and the rich. You got working people, business owners, and the rich. And the poor, unfortunately, are trapped into a cycle that hopefully they'll move themselves out of. But we're talking about the instance of the total immigration situation when you got organizations that are minority-owned organizations that they are getting more privileges than the coalition themselves. And I might as well just say this. I had a conversation with some folks from I Square Foot out of their corporate office out of Ohio, and I requested that I Square Foot be a part of one of our tactics in providing our members around the country access to projects, because we're not getting the access as the Hispanic contractors get. If you go to isquare.com, you look at their so-called minority partnering program, and there's not one woman-owned organization, a woman-owned business, a woman-desired business venture is a part of their minority outreach. No women organizations are getting I-square foot. So I talked to the CFO of that company, and he directed me back toward Atlanta because he instructed me really nicely that he could not do anything without somebody else's permission from another organization, which is male ran, and they don't have any women on their national board or on their corporate board here in Metro Atlanta. And if they do, it's probably somebody's wife. So basically, I want to bring that out when it comes to the fact that these are organizations that pretend that they're doing things for quote-unquote minorities, but minorities and women of color are two different types of creatures. They're two entities, and they function totally different than anybody else. And so we want to make sure that we brought that to their attention, that I'm hoping that we will have the same opportunity as all the other organizations that are all male, that the women of color in contracting will be able to be afforded the same amount of information as they have provided Hispanic Contractors Association, all three states. I think they have them in Georgia, Texas, and South Carolina, and we're wondering why we're losing losing gain on the industry because we've been pushed back. And if you ever try to walk on a site with or work with Hispanic Contract Association, they do not work well with women of color. And I just have to bring that out there. So I'm going to pray for just a moment. say welcome back to the National Coalition Blog Talk Radio. We are airing live out of Atlanta, Georgia, at C.J. Hearn's Construction Corporate Office. And I thought it would be interesting to have a change of pace today. It is very important that our members and our listeners understand what is taking place with being able to free up money and for our businesses. And we have been talking about the White House press release March 16th, 2009, where President Obama and Secretary Gaffner announced his plans to unlock credit for small businesses, emphasizing recovery efforts already taken by SBA to expand access to capital for small businesses. And in the efforts to continue this dialogue, or actually this news segment for today, I want to move further down the other requirements that, or the opportunities that SBA has in store for us. And that money is supposed to be released. About $10 billion are going to be, $15 billion in securities are going to be a part of the Financial Stabilization Plan, FSP, and it is going to help build up to refresh everybody, the 7A programs, the 504 SBA Community Development Loan programs, and the 7A loan package programs. And the other part of this is, another part of these points that are out here in this package, and this is, I want to thank Ms. Hearns for providing the folks on the show an opportunity to be cognizant of the loan situation regarding freeing up money for our businesses. So I want to move this further on, and like I said, this is a new segment opposed to any kind of dialogue or conversations that have been being questioned for today. This is very important that we understand how the SBA is moving in order to unlock the credit for small businesses. And we know, according to this document, that 70% of all new jobs annually over the past decade are created in large part by American small businesses. So we wanted further along with this format of pretty much informing you all, verbatim how this is working. Temporarily, the Treasury Department has made a commitment to the temporarily raise guarantees up to 90% in SBA 7A loan programs. The purpose of the 7A loan program is to provide government guarantees that reduces the risk that lenders face when they make loans to borrowers who cannot find credit elsewhere. So I want to repeat that again. This particular loan situation is temporarily raises guarantees up to 90% in SBA 7A loan programs. The purpose of this loan is to provide government guarantees that reduce risk that lenders face when they make loans to borrowers who cannot find credit elsewhere. During this current recession, they guaranteed up to 85% for the loans at or below $150,000 and up to 75% for larger loans. Now, this would also allow companies that are to bring a relationship to the to this, is that if companies need, and especially with the state of Georgia changing their contractor's license, that some folks have to have at least $150,000 for financial sovereignty in the bank. This will allow individuals to be able to use this particular program for a loan to show sovereignty in the bank. So I ask people to take a very good look at this particular component. And as part of this Recovery Act, the SBA announced that an increase in maximum loan guarantees will begin today. Any lender who participate in the 7A program can request a guarantee from SBA up to 90% for each eligible loan. This is temporary available increase to help the banks get through and build confidence that they need to extend credit during this current recession. So this is one of the very strong initiatives in order to unlock some of the confidence that the banks have lost. That I don't understand how they lose confidence when they lent money to, as my mother would say, anybody that had a pulse. So she said they were lending loans and for houses, anything that had a pulse, but now they lost confidence. Okay, that's just mine. So the other thing is the Treasury says this is a confidence that will boost lenders to extend credit. Combined with the Treasury's efforts to unlock secondary markets, higher loan guarantees will ensure that lenders have both greater safeguards against possible credit losses and assurances that will be active secondary markets to purchase their loans, provide liquidity that they need to keep lending. So in short, the Treasury Department is saying that they are going to help unlock secondary markets so that people can get higher loan guarantees. And so this itself becomes a major item two on the document that Ms. Hearns has provided for us as a footprint for the show today, because it's very important that we unlock the information regarding the opportunity to give our listeners and our members information regarding how to unlock some of the credit opportunities. Next thing we want to talk about is, well, actually, I'm just going to announce temporarily eliminate SBA fees to reduce the cost of capital. And like I said, I'm going to make sure that this is being read verbatim because I don't want to put my two cents in it. So it says elimination of borrowers and lending fees for FO4 loans. On any new eligible 504 application submitted beginning today, SBA will temporarily eliminate certified development company, CDC, processing fees charged to borrowers and third-party participation fees charged to lenders. As a temporary provision authorized by the Recovery Act, these measures reduce costs of both borrowers and lenders participating in 504 programs. What that means is I met one gentleman that spent about $25,000 paying third-party people fees to be able to put their loan packages together to give to the bank. So now they are suspending that so that you will be able to go directly to the bank themselves and helping lower down that cost to try to get a loan, because people were charging you to get a loan, these brokers. And I think that's very interesting to people who are just having enough to keep their doors open as a business. This participating program will have demonstrated a record of supporting community development and creating jobs. So basically, if you're a small business owner and you are trying to create jobs and you need $500,000 or $200,000 or $150,000. Well, $150,000 is the maximum that you can get with this. So you'll be able to get some working capital, be able to utilize that as upstarting your working capital. The other thing that they have here listed is that they're going to make upfront fees for 7A loans. For any eligible 7A loan, the SBA will temporarily eliminate upfront fees that lenders pass along to borrowers. These fees, which go up to 3.75% for larger loans, increase the cost of borrowing for small businesses and make it more difficult for them to access the credit they need to expand or make new investments. So that's a plus right there, too. So you don't have to pay any upfront fees starting March 19, 2009, when it comes to when you see a 7A loan. So rebates for fees paid since February 17th for borrowers and lenders charged any of these fees on loans approved on or after the 17th, the SBA will provide a refund. Now listen to this. The SBA will provide a refund, a rebate, if anybody paid any fees to lenders or borrowers, they will on and after the 17th, that you'll get a refund to ensure that the Recovery Act provisions create maximum possible economic stimulus. So if you paid a bunch of money out between February 17th and now, you can get your money back. So please listen to that and make sure you can pass that on to everybody else as well. They also have a way that a pledge to quickly turn around loans to maintain a high level of service to potential borrowers and lenders alike. The SBA also pledges that complete loan application will be turned around quickly by SBA, usually in as little as 2 to 3 days. Now, we know that I need to see that one. If that one works out, then we really are going to be freeing up a lot of money. And, again, this show is just for purposes of being able to allow our listeners the understanding that President Obama is very serious about unlocking the credit for small businesses. And their emphasis has been on recovering efforts already taken by SBA to expand access to capital for small businesses. The other thing that's going to be another way of leveraging is that require that 21 largest banks receiving financial stability plan assistance to report their small business lending every month as a part of the president's commitment to increasing transparency and accountability. Treasuries will, for the first time, require the 21st largest banks receiving capital from the government to report how much small business lending they do every month. Every month. Now, we're going to see. This is a very exciting situation because go to Make America as quickly as you can because they don't lend to women of color. I can almost assure you of that one. I don't care what kind of credit you got. But I'm just joking. But anyway, they're saying that the 21 largest banks in the country are now having transparency. All right. And now the other thing that's leveraging is that there's a call for quarterly reports of small business lending by all banks. Today, the Secretary Gaffner called for every bank nationwide to report their total lending to small business in their regular quarterly reports, rather than once a year. So Secretary Gaffner will ask bank regulators to take steps to amend the quarterly reports of conditions to achieve important objectives. Now, let me make sure we're on the right page, you guys. If the government is going as far as stating that all of these things are required on banks, guess what? These are the same reporting situations that are required by the states. And they're not going to tell you this. They're going to tell you there's some more red tape for you to go through. But this is the same laws that have been passed down from the auto industry to the banking industry to the construction industry, and they do not want you all to know anything about this. And for those who call in and are online, I just want you all to sit back, listen to this information. For those of people who are buying new homes or trying to buy a new home, do not pay a quarter for anything. I am speaking to folks who are going to be making a journey down here to look for a house. So do not pay anything. All right. I'm sorry?
You have to pay.
Okay. It says rebates paid. They said elimination of upfront fees on loans, 7A loans. SBA will temporarily eliminate upfront fees that lenders pass along to borrowers. These fees, which will go up to 3.7% for larger loans, increase the cost of borrowing for small businesses and make it more difficult for them to access credit that they need to expand new investments. And in February 17th, as of February 17th, for borrowers and lenders charged any of these fees on loans approved on or after the 17th, SBA provide a refund to ensure that the Recovery Act provisions create the maximum possible economic stimulus. All right, then.
Okay. Gotcha.
We're going to move on to the news. we're going to continue with this format. Issues call for all banks to make efforts to increase small business lending. Today, Secretary Gathner called on all banks, whether or not they receive FSP assistance, to make an extra effort to extend small business loans to credit-worthy borrowers. In light of the extraordinary assistance provided to the banking systems, Secretary Gathner emphasized that lenders should take a special responsibility in providing the credit that small businesses need to operate, expand, and add jobs. All right, so we're going to move further into this. This is closing into the last portion of the show, and I wanted to make sure that we reemphasize what this show is today. This is a news portion, basically a news forum opposed to just having questions and answers. This is about President Obama and Secretary Gathner announcing plans to unlock credit for small businesses. This was an immediate press release on March 16, 2006 from the White House Office of Press Secretary that was given to me by our Southeastern Chair, Mrs. Ernst, so that our members can be able to understand what opportunities are out there in terms of loosening up our financial some financial situations for our businesses to obtain credit and loans. And on this last part, issues guidance for an expanded carryback provision as part of the Recovery Act, comprehensive tax cut packages for small businesses. And this says that they have established a five-year carryback provision to increase tax refunds for small businesses. Today, the IRS will give guidance for a provision in the Recovery Act that allows businesses with gross receipts up to $15 million to carry back their losses for up to 5 years, effectively allowing them to rebate on taxes paid in previous years. So the Joint Committee on Taxation estimates that this measure will increase liquidity for small businesses by $4.7 billion by September 30th, 2009. Incentives to this is a complete implementation of Recovery Act's comprehensive tax cut packages for small businesses. They said the carryback provision is only one of several measures in the Recovery Act that will improve liquidity for small businesses and lower their taxes, including incentives to invest in plant and equipment by allowing small business to write off $250,000 of investments. The Recovery Act allows small business to immediately write off the $250,000 of qualified investments in 2009, providing an immediate tax incentive to invest and create jobs. Let me read that again. The Recovery Act allows small businesses to immediately write off up to $250,000 qualified investments in 2009, providing an immediate tax incentive to invest in creating jobs as well. So they're stating that if you want to buy plant or equipment, you can write off the $250,000 in any kind of equipment. Equipment could be software, it could be backhoes, it could be anything that your business has been using in order to, if you're an IT firm, if you need a particular type of software package, if you're a construction firm, if you need a backhoe, if you are a vendor, it gives you an opportunity to go ahead and make those purchases and have an immediate tax credit in 2009. So I think that is very extraordinary. In addition to liquidity, the support by reducing estimated tax payments, they said normally small businesses have to pay up to 110% of their previous year's taxes in estimated taxes, but with incomes down in many businesses, this requirement is too burdensome and causing a cash crunch. The Recovery Act allows small businesses to reduce their estimated payments to 90% of their previous year's taxes, helping to reduce their liquidity and better align their estimated taxes with their actual taxes in a year of severe economic contractions. So the Treasury Department said the extension of bonus depreciation deductions through 2009, the American Recovery Act, the Recovery Act also extends through 2009 bonus depreciation, allowing businesses to take a larger tax deduction within the first year of a property's purchase. Okay, so there's an incentive for depreciation, and there's another one for incentives for investors to put money in small businesses. It says, finally, the Recovery Act includes a measure that will exclude from taxation 75% of the capital gains for investors and small businesses who hold their investments for 5 years. So 75% of the capital gains for investors and small businesses who hold their investments for 5 years will have a 75% capital gains incentive. In this budget, the president's purpose is to go further, eliminating all capital gains taxes on small businesses and making these measures permanent. So he is pushing the gamut to another level. And ladies and gentlemen, this segment has been a wonderful opportunity for us to understand that President Obama and Secretary Gardner announced a way to get credit flowing. And they said there's no plan, and there has been a plan in place, and there has been action going on before President Obama was sworn in. So with the new administrations that are going in and out, these particular items, which are, and I want to just go back over them, are a part of SBA's mandate from the president himself to loosen up their hold as they had to allow people with strong credit histories that have applied for loans who have been denied due to conditions that they had nothing to do with to start getting loans now to keep their workers on payrolls. And the Obama administration has already had taken several positive steps to ensure that small businesses have access to credit now. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act that was signed by the president provides an increased guarantee and reduces fees for certain Small Business Administration loans. And those administration loans, as I went over before at the, doing this news segment, was the SBA 7A program, the SBA 504 Community Development Loan Program, the 504 First Lien Mortgage, the 504 Securities, the Secondary Market for Direct Purchases, the Temporary Raise to Guarantee up to 90% in SBA 7A loans, the purpose of lending to people who borrowers who cannot find credit elsewhere, so you can get up to $150,000. The other initiative was that we talked about was through CDC that eliminated the processing fees charged to borrowers and third-party participation fees charged to lenders, the elimination of any of those upfront fees. And then the most wonderful thing is that the 21 largest banks in the country that receive stabilization money, that they're supposed to now report each month about what they have done for small businesses, so bankers start smiling and talking to you, talk back, tell them you need some money. Okay. And the other portion that was to establish the carryback that we talked about in the news here. And the last thing is the extension of bonus depreciation. And I further want to state that we really need to take advantage of information. And from the segment, I want to go back into what MARTA's requirements are. They're not shocking. There's just a point of understanding that MARTA, which is the Metropolitan Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority, which is that there are acronyms here in Metro Atlanta, but it also stands for MARTA, Moving Afro-Americans Rapidly Through Atlanta. That is what MARTA stands for in the African-American community. But they are making contractors be registered with a Dun & Bradstreet number and CCR. That was the first part of our discussion for the first half of the news. And then on this last few minutes that we have left in the show, I want to also welcome two other businesses that have joined the coalition, and one of them is EMTC, and the other business is called A Budget Lock and Door. And we want to congratulate one of our new apprentices, Mrs. Hearn's son, who was certified in class. He'll be receiving, through our Brotherhood of Carpenters, his apprenticeship training, his OSHA certification. Young man's about 19 years old, second generation, and we want to thank we're going to let him know that we're very proud of him and what he's doing, and trying to make a change and be involved in the apprenticeship program. And we also want to thank Charitable Connections, Mutiyama, and involving with our Build a Youth program, and also want to welcome Nadine Levy from Upbuild Design, who has been working diligently with Mario Coleman and in the multimedia. And we also want to thank the Brotherhood of Carpenters for their continued support. We have had a commitment of something that has never really been done, a commitment of 7 prime contractors to partner in a program of working, bidding jobs, not a program to sit class, not make any money, but bidding jobs together, doing a mentoring program of a different level where the individuals in the coalition who are dues-paying members are part of the program, so that the experience level becomes a part of the new business model when it comes to actually self-performing work. Because with the general contractor's license in the state of Georgia, you must have performed some kind of work in that field. And a lot of women-owned businesses have never performed work in the field that they're working in. There's very few that actually know the work and can say that they actually did the work and were subcontractors and they actually did viable work. Most of the contractors that I've seen in Georgia are usually pass-through firms that say, give me 1%, 10%, and I'll leave. And what we're doing now is our program is that if there's a building that's 100,000 square feet, then 10,000 square feet is a training, on-the-job training project for the contractor to build 10,000 square feet of that 100,000 square feet, as an example, that they must self-perform that work with their own labor, with their own workforce, which are going to be who are all signatory, union leveraged, OSHA approved, certified men, women who are qualified to install the products that are on the project. So that is a wonderful program that we have put together. And I'm not privileged to mention the 7 contractors, but hopefully on the next several shows we'll be able to interview them and thank them personally for their time in the absence of the knowledge of not being able to announce that. We want to kind of move further, but I'm very excited that we're building capacity, we're building ambition. For those who want to learn, we've had some folks who have looked at the situation, and they're used to people giving them things. And so this is not for everybody. We want to let people know that we are changing the face of contracting. We are making it a opportunity for people to work and learn and build sustainability. So with that being said, I want to thank Ms. Hearn for allowing us to air out of her office here in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's downtown Atlanta, beautiful, beautiful location. And we're just going to cut the show about 2 seconds into it. I want to thank our national chair, Ms. Freeman, and thank you for always being a part of the show and other callers that were on. And honest to God, I guess everybody's just saying, okay, she's just talking, but this is a news segment. This news segment is very important for information purposes. It is very important that we understand how to move in this new economic climate in order to inform our members of what they need to do. So I want to end the show by playing my song, Closer to My Dreams by Beyonce. Good night.
always right for me. You knew my worth and you would never treat me like a piece or an empty treat that you'd never want your mother to need. And finally, I found somebody who fit perfectly. You're everything that I dreamed you'd be. And I'll be what you need, cause I'm playing for keeps, baby. Let it out slowly, please. If it's a dream, don't pinch me, baby. Could you let me sleep? As long as I see your face, I don't need to be awake. I count sheep forever.